Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I have a very special treat for you today. I am not here with someone else from the Mac Observer. I am here with the infamous Dan Morin. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Kelly. Infamous. Ooh, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, so I guess that would make me a known associate then, because you and I have been on other podcasts together. So yeah.
True, indeed.
We are scoundrels together. Yes. Scoundrel is an excellent term. Now, I'm chatting with you today because you wrote what I thought was a very interesting article about everyone's voice assistant, as I like to call her on the show so I don't accidentally trip somebody else's voice assistant, the S-Lady. And you wrote about her because she was introduced to the world in fall of 2011. And I'm just gonna let you take it from there, because that's where you started, was like the beginning of that particular voice assistant. And here we are.
Here we are indeed. I kind of boggled my mind. I was writing this piece already about Siri and thinking about it, and then realized that we were coming up on the 10-year anniversary of Siri being added to iOS. Obviously, Siri was a standalone product before that Apple acquired, but it was, I believe, the iPhone 4S. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right, the S was for Siri. And it, you know, there was a lot of stuff that was impressive about Siri at the time, and there was stuff that was frustrating about Siri at the time. And as the years have gone by, and as we're, you know, approaching that 10-year anniversary there, I, you know, found myself thinking once again that it seems weird. Like, so when Siri was first introduced, I believe it was labeled as a beta feature, as Apple does from time to time, even though it was released to everybody. Mm-hmm. And even though it has improved since then, it never really feels like a product that hit a, you know, here is Siri 1.0, right? Like, they didn't make a big deal out of saying, and now Siri is ready for the masses, right? And mm-hmm. to a certain extent, Siri is always going to be under development. It is something that is going to continue to evolve. But mm-hmm. I have found myself frustrating, as I'm sure many of us have, in dealing with the voice assistant over the last 10 years, because it doesn't seem like it has gotten a lot of attention from Apple. Every once in a while, Apple will come out and be like, ah, yes, we've added this new feature or this new feature. Like recently, like, oh, new voices. And it's mm-hmm. great. I mean, hey, those voices are an improvement. I like the fact that they're focusing on this idea of diversity and inclusion and having all these voices that might sound more like people so they can have a Siri that sounds like them. Mm-hmm. But that is, some of that is feels sometimes very much a form over function sort of approach, which is like, that's great that you've improved the sound of Siri, but it doesn't work better.
Yeah. If I ask her the same question I asked her last year, I'm going to get the same non-answer. She will respond to me, but it will not be with the answer to the thing that I asked. It will not help me in any way.
And for many years over at Tom's Guide, I have done a report card of Siri versus Alexa and versus Google Assistant. And it's very scientific, I assure you. It's not, but and people always like to like point that out, which is great. I'm like, yes, I realize it is not a very scientific study, but it is helpful in that I have tended to do the same questions year over year and try the same features. And Siri is always, I feel like, pretty much ended up at the bottom of the pack on that regard. So Alexa and Google Assistant have both improved a lot more. I think those companies feel in some ways like there's a much more vested interest for them in improving that product, because it ties in with so many of the other things that they want to do with their companies, such as collect information about you, build a profile of you. And that's never been Apple's game. So it feels like maybe in some ways it hasn't focused as much attention on developing Siri as those other competitors have.
Yeah. And it's interesting you bring it up that way. The other thing that I always thought in using an Echo device versus the S-Lady to try and get an answer about something is that the Google one, I think primarily, because I know you can use the Google one on screen, but the Google one and definitely the A-Lady, both of them were designed as intelligences that were screenless. They were meant to be interacted with 100% with your voice. And one of the things that was supposed to make the S Lady so helpful is that she could show you stuff on your screen. Here's a web search to tell you more information about that thing. Here's what I found for you online, whether it was, you know, Yelp recommendations or a Wikipedia page or a particular app that maybe you were looking for. And she, and so like that one was always sort of meant to be, to have a screen as a sidekick. And I feel like the other ones weren't. And I wonder if maybe that's sort of what forces that, the, another thing that forces them to continue to innovate aside from the data collection piece. I think it might also be partly that, you know, if she doesn't have a good answer, she can always just spit out the information to your, to a screen and just tell you on your screen, you know, what it is that it's doing. And for all the other things that we've had on iOS, particularly anything we've had for a really long time, all that stuff has gone through iteration. Like, you know, you and I have both been Apple Watchers for a really long time. So we've seen like the wave of and, you know, and written our share of these things like, wow, Notes doesn't suck anymore. Reminders got really, really spiffed up. The home button on the phone turned into the authentication, turned into, instead of using your thumb, it's just using your face to authenticate as a security measure. Right. Like all this other stuff got new and improved. And we haven't seen anything where they're like, check out all the things that the voice assistant can do for you now.
Yeah, it's what's felt lacking to me, and I've argued for this many times. I looked up my last column arguing about this, and it was like 5 years ago, and it was the idea of Siri 2.0, which is they've never come out with sort of a big initiative and said, you know what? We are focusing a lot of attention on Siri, and we've got like all of these new things that we have really worked hard on improving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's because we think Siri is really important. And I think you can point a finger at that to a certain extent and at least chalk up some of the failure of the HomePod, the full-size HomePod, to that. There are obviously a bunch of other problems with the HomePod, and mainly its price, et cetera.
Yes.
But I think if Siri were more useful, a lot more people might have found that a compelling product in a way that it was like, well, it's a great sound, but it's expensive. And the voice assistant stuff is only so-so.
Okay.
So, you know, I think that to me, it was sort of hamstringing the HomePod as a product is like, because it always felt like this is a really great music speaker. And yeah, there's some smart stuff built in, but don't worry about that too much.
Yeah. But and then they entered a market where the two primary other competitors made a speaker that would project sound into a room with no statement about the quality of that sound with a voice assistant that was pretty pretty good for, you know, in a lot of ways and would do a lot of things for you and make a lot of things easier or more useful in some way.
Right.
And that's the I think that's the fundamental difference, and I think I agree with you. I think that's a big reason why the full-on HomePod was not a success, I guess we'll call it.
Right. I mean, and you pointed to the screen thing earlier too, and I think that's that, you know, on the one hand might have been a success early on, but I think the more Siri has become omnipresent in all of Apple's devices, the more it's become a hindrance instead, right? We've all asked our Apple Watch or our HomePod or something to be like, hey, can you answer this question for me? Like yelling from the living room or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I've sent some results to your phone. It's like, if I wanted to use my phone, I would have asked my phone.
Yeah. The prime example I have of this is yesterday, because we were talking about iMacs yesterday, and I was just sort of thinking about it and went, what day was that? And I asked my phone, what day was the original iMac released? And she basically said, go to apple.com. And I'm like, of all the things you should be able to tell me. Of all the things, like, yeah, I don't expect you to know the Trailblazers playoff record. I don't expect you to give me the hockey score of the game happening right now. But can you tell me about like when one of your cousins made its debut? And she's like, I got nothing.
Ironically, of course, she did know when the Apple event was happening, if you recall.
Yes,
because it was leaked in everybody Siri else. Beforehand. So wildly uneven in terms of the kind of stuff that Siri seems to have access to. And a lot of people, I want to push back on one thing, which is a lot of people will say, like, Google and Amazon, because they are doing this sort of profile building, and I won't deny that's part of the voices and stuff, but like Apple is hampered by its commitment to privacy. And I actually don't think that is true. I actually think Apple can get away with a lot without feeling like it is, you know, breaking the sort of rules that it's laying down for itself. With all the sort of differential privacy and all the stuff that it's available for it to retrieve on your phone with your permission,
right?
I actually think it does a pretty good job of what it could get access to. And I don't think that those things are mutually exclusive, is my point. I don't think privacy and having a good voice assistant are like, you can never have both, pick one. I just think Apple needs to have the will. They need to have the will and the impetus to say, we want to make Siri better, and that's going to be a big push for us.
And how is that not a really amazing value proposition, right? Look at the great voice assistant you can have that isn't collecting all this data about you in a creepy way, because we have these four things that you can adjust for how much information is gathered or not or whatever, right? And be able to make it, you know, configurable as far as like what you can do with it.
Yeah.
And like, that seems like a very obvious thing to me. And that was part of why I wanted to talk to you about it, is because that definitely feels like with all of the privacy stuff that they're doing and all of those kinds of things. And you know, I think you mentioned it, that Google has iterated on its assistant and debuted some really interesting features recently. And I think watching those things happen and watching the new skills that come out for Echo devices and that sort of stuff, I feel like a lot of those things just sort of underscore the fact that there hasn't really been a lot of evolution on the Apple platform with this stuff.
I think you're right. And it's a shame too, because Apple's clearly invested a lot into AI and machine learning, right? They poached John Gianandrea, who is the Google's head of this kind of search and stuff. And it's clear from all the other places in their software where they are using machine learning and AI to great effect. Just little things. Like I noticed, for example, in Control Center, as in later versions of iOS, if you're someone like me who has a bunch of home devices, they do a great job of learning and surfacing devices that you're likely to want to access at any particular time. So like when I go to turn out my bedside lamp at night, it's almost always the first thing in like Control Center for my automated home devices, because it knows that every night at like 11 o'clock, I'm turning out that light. So like it can be smarter. That technology is there, but it doesn't feel like they've wanted to apply it. And that is, to me, the most disappointing, is it feels like some of that is being squandered, because Siri could be so much better than it is.
Yeah. And those, I think being people who see those opportunities, like you and I, as we use the home automation stuff, as we look at the other kinds of machine learning stuff that we get as benefits of that, now that there's enough horsepower in the pocket machines to power a lot of these sorts of things, it's really surprising that we still, like, the only real significant change we've had is the humanness of the voices. Like, the voice sounds a lot more conversational than it used to. But even if I wanted to add something to begin with, it would work almost exactly the same now as it did on the 4S. When she first came out.
If you pulled it up, maybe I think, you know, that's the other thing, is like the slow level of improvement over the years means it probably is a lot better at some stuff, and it certainly sounds a lot better. But I don't think it was much more of a gradual incline. I think we all expected something that was a little more significant, like, you know, a Siri 2.0, but I think they have improved a lot of stuff, but it was not the quantum leap, I think, that we were hoping for.
Yeah, well, and we haven't ever had a big discussion of it, you know, aside from the unveiling.
Sure,
We haven't had, like, here are all the things.
It's not a marquee feature all the time at any Apple event of the past decade, really.
Yeah, Like, I feel like we've spent more time on iPhone cases than we have on the iPhone assistant. I mean,
like, socks. It's all the iPhone socks.
It's all iPhone socks. It's
all and, the way down.
All the way down. And that's the part that I find a little, I think, frustrating, is like feeling like Apple has all these other avenues where these things happen and they're great. I mean, anybody who's used like the, again, to go back to being screen first, like if you use the Siri watch face, it's pretty great. If you if you have the, I think there's a Siri widget like for your devices that's like, here's the thing you normally do when you first pick this up, and it's great. And like those sorts of things on the screens is where it seems like maybe the evolution is going. Like I have an Echo Base and I have a HomePod mini, and I have this app called AnyList that I use, and it so if I want to add it, I can tell the A lady, add potatoes to the shopping list, and she's like, cool, I got it, and it's done. And then in order to do that on the HomePod, I have to say, hey lady, add shopping, and she says, what do you want to add? And then I tell her, and then okay. But it's like this whole other
say, I there is a faster way to do that, because I also use AnyList on my HomePod mini.
Yes.
And you can just say, so what I ended up doing was, I have a shopping list for my Echo, which you can sync. Mm-hmm. And then I just tell Siri, put something on my shopping list, and it adds it to the Alexa shopping list reminder. So it syncs everywhere. Oh. It is, you can do it. It's a little bit faster and a little bit better, but it is not native. And that is frustrating, because the native integration, I agree with you, is much worse. So I don't remember how I came across this idea, but it, like, I think it's a weird setup where I have it like syncing from a reminders list, and I picked my Alexa shopping list and all this sort of weird, very strange thing. And the one downside is you always need to open the AnyList app in order for it to sync. And so that's fine. Usually, you know, it's not usually a big deal. It's like when I go to the store, I open the app. But the key is mainly if my wife uses it to add stuff, because it adds stuff to her own list and then it syncs. She has to make sure to, like, I have to remind her before I go to the store, just remember to open the AnyList app on your phone so all your stuff syncs over. So it's a little annoying, but it works.
Okay, because like we tried it out. I got a HomePod mini for my birthday, and I was like, well, you know, you can AnyList it too. And we went through it, and I finally figured out how to make it add to the AnyList list. And I was like, okay, here's how you do it. And Mr. Kelly looked at me and said, yeah, I'm never doing that. And basically that was it. Like, okay, because he's like, that's way, he basically said, like, that's too many steps. I can just tell that one, add this to the shopping list and move on with my life. That's what I'm doing. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, yep.
So yeah, that's the part of it I sort of find frustrating too. So I'm glad to know that there's a way though. And now I feel like I have to go change a bunch of syncing options so that I can make that happen.
Yes. Yeah. It's not straightforward, which is the frustrating part, but it does work eventually.
Yeah. Because I would much rather tell the HomePod than the Echo what it is I want to put back on the shopping list.
Especially if it's like the one thing that you keep going back to your Echo for. Like, that's always the thing. Like, I still have an Echo in my office. Mm-hmm. I use it way less than I used to, but every once in a while there's a thing which, like, I know I can't do this on the HomePod.
Yeah.
And I usually try to figure out if I can make the HomePod do it somehow, like shortcuts or something like that. But yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Dan, thanks so much for coming by to talk to me about Siri and the other assistants. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.